Good. Amen. You know, I get tired of seeing Abby running and falling and scraping herself up. You know, we have some pavement at the house, you know, and she gets her flip-flops on, her little Crocs, and she just runs, gets going too fast and wipes out, you know, and bangs up her knees, bangs up her hands. And she did again the other day, and I was adamant with her. I told you, stop running on the pavement. How many times do I have to tell you that? Why do I do that? Because I'm warning her so it doesn't happen again. Amen. Yeah. Why does Pastor get bold? Well, one, we pray for it, and it's the Word of God. But why does he get bold? Because I don't want to see you go through things unnecessarily. I don't want to see the devil have his way in your life. And I know this is the way out of those things. Amen. I know this is the way. And some people just stay in a rut and stay in a rut and stay in a rut. And they need to be shaken. And rat, their cage rattle and woken up. And when I got on Abby like that, wow, Dad means business, you know, shakes her. So I don't want her to do that anymore. I don't enjoy seeing her struggle. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew chapter 8. This is part 2 of our healing series that we started last week. If you weren't here last week, I do encourage you to get online and listen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. Father, thank you for your word, for your mercy, and for your goodness. Help us, Lord. We worship and glorify you. We magnify you, and we thank you for help this morning. We thank you the word will be preached with boldness. We thank you the word will be preached with utterance as the oracles of God. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, let me say things that you want said. May things be done in the service that you want done. Father, we're not here to try to hit a natural mark. We want to hit your mark, what you want. And so, Father, there are people here that need to hear things. And so, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words in season, and things will be refreshing to people. It'll encourage them. It'll give them direction and insight, correction if need be. And, Father, we'll go on to greater. We'll go on to more. And, Father, this is like boot camp. We're training up. We're getting ready. We're equipping ourselves for when the enemy tries to bring things against us, we'll be ready. And so, Father, we're grateful for the word this morning. We thank you. We're going to all be helped. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We started a series on healing, and I want to preface it with this. Is you might be hearing perfectly healthy in your body and be temptation to tune me out, you know, and think, well, I don't need this. Well, two things. Number one, you might someday. You know, the Navy SEALs are training right now somewhere. They might not be on an operation, but you know what? They don't just sit around all day and eat cheese puffs and play video games. They train. What are they training for? For the impending mission that they're going to have to go on for when the enemy strikes. Amen. Well, even if you're full of health and healing right now, and praise God if that's true, the devil is a stealer, a killer, and destroyer, and will come knocking at your door sometime in the form of trying to put symptoms and sickness and disease on your body. Yeah. That's what he does. That's part of what he does. And so this will get you ready, praise God. This is training for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But also, it's amazing that we could preach on healing and you say, well, I need help in my money, and you'll get help in your money today. Amen. Well, I needed help in my marriage. You'll get help in your marriage today. It's just amazing how God can take one message from one minister who's willing to obey him and meet every needs of the people in the room. It's amazing how he does that. So praise God. So let's look at some review here real quick. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to do fast review as fast as I can to get going. He says, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Do you know that this is the only person in the whole Bible that came to Jesus with this doctrine, with this theology of if you will? You don't find anybody else that approached Jesus on the basis of, Lord, if you're willing, you can do it. He's the only one. And so we know this, that we receive our healing, we receive anything. And if this is will help you if you're believing God for money, believing God for a spouse, believing God for a baby, believing God for a home, believing God for a car. We know this, that he didn't have a problem with wondering if God could. He had a problem wondering if God would. And so we know that we receive our promises by faith. The Bible tells us that very clearly. We spotlight that a lot around here because faith is your part. Faith is what you do. Praise God. And before Jesus could heal him, like he did with many people, Jesus didn't heal based on his powers. Right. He healed, because God's power is always present. It never disappears. Right. He heals based on people's faith. Now, there are things called the gifts of the Spirit where people are instantly healed, praise God, and where miracles, signs, and wonders instantly happen. And at times they happen because people have faith and are believing for that, or it can happen because somebody doesn't have any faith at all. Brother Hagin healed through laying on of hands, healed somebody one time, and the woman out loud in front of the whole church said, "I can't believe that worked." Well, that tells you right there, it's not her faith that got her healed. It was a gift of the Spirit. What's a gift? A gift, you don't have to do anything, but the majority of the way we receive from God, we do have to do something. What is it? It's called faith. Amen. Amen. It's called faith, praise God. And so if faith is the way that we receive, Jesus had to correct his doctrine, because when he says, if you're willing, he wasn't in faith. And Jesus said in verse 3, and put forth his hand and touched him, said, "I will." So he said, the answer to your problem is, "I will." And it says, "Be thou clean," immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And we said this way, we learned something here. Most people don't have a problem thinking that God can. In fact, most people think God can do anything. Where people struggle or have a problem is, will God? Does God want to? Does God care? Is God interested in this? And we told you that faith for anything, and we're talking about healing, cannot rest on the mere ability of God. This guy had all the faith in the world that Jesus could. He didn't have any faith that Jesus would until Jesus told him, "I will," praise God. And we said, your faith cannot rest in the mere ability of God. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And remember my gas station example? I mean, I have the deepest examples. I mean, you come here, I'll blow your mind with these deep examples. I mean, they are just off the charts deep. But anyways, remember, if you drive by the gas station on your way home, it's super duper, and you see somebody filling up their gas tank, you can assume, most likely, they have the ability to put a few bucks in your car. The majority of the time, someone that's filling up could put another gallon in, could put another 2 gallons in, the majority of the time. And so driving by the gas station, seeing people fill up, you could assume they probably could put a couple gallons in my tank. Well, you could pull in behind them and get out and say, "We put some in mine." But let me ask you a question. Because they have the ability is what's causing you to pull in there. How confident would you be pulling into that gas station, up behind somebody and saying, "Okay, now put two or three gallons in my vehicle"? How confident would you be? Your confidence would be small, so much so you'll never do that. Right. Yeah. If you were confident that anybody at the gas tank would put gas in your, I mean, we'd pull into every gas station we could. But because you're not confident and have zero confidence that, you'd never do that. Silly. But if Pastor Mike told you, "Hey, at the end of service, I want to bless you. Meet me down at the super duper, I'm going to fill up your vehicle." Well, when you pull into that gas station, there's a different level of confidence now. But what was the only thing with the confidence? Because both people had the ability, because you're assuming the other person, the stranger, has the ability, and you know I have the ability if I tell you. It wasn't the confidence in my ability that got your faith up there. It was the confidence in my willingness that got your faith up there. And faith begins where the will of God is known. Let me stress this to you. Faith begins. That means it's a foundation. You need a foundation for your faith. Whatever you're standing in faith believing for, it better be a firm foundation. And the Bible says it's his will that is the firm foundation. The firm foundation for this guy's faith was when Jesus said, "I'll do it." Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence. This is the confidence. This is the surety. This is the good foundation. If we ask according to his will. If we don't ask according to his will, we have no confidence. And so whatever you're believing God for here this morning, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's anything in your life, if you don't have a word of God on it, you don't have a sure foundation. And let me tell you something. When you go enter into faith, the fire and the trials will come. The tests will come. Things will all of a sudden look like they're getting worse. Things will all of a sudden look like there's no hope. Things will all of a sudden look like God is nowhere to be found. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no light on the end of the horizon. It's gone. You are alone in this. It's over. Time will go by and the time trap will start to mess with your head. And if you don't have a foundation that it's God's will for that to change, the circumstances, the situations, the feelings, and the thoughts will convince you that it's not going to happen. But when you're convinced and sold out and planted on the foundation of God's word and God's will, It doesn't matter what the natural says. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. It doesn't matter that it looks like it's getting worse. Because you know God's will is His word, and He's not a man that should lie. And so if He said it, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Abraham was able to get off of the place of doubt and unbelief and into sure faith in a fiery situation as a 99-year-old man who was told he's going to have a baby with his 90-year-old wife. The only reason was because God said it. He had confidence in the foundation. And so anything with faith begins with the will of God. So if you're believing God for something, what word are you standing on? What promise are you standing on? Glory to God. What would compel somebody to drive by a home that catches their eye, to pull in there and to look up on Real Estate Advantage the price of this home that you're looking at? While we're looking for a home, 26 months, look for a home. Pull into this house, pull it up and say, I like this place. Oh, it's got property and land. Pull up the house on Real Estate Advantage and look and see the price of it and see that the price of the home was more than we got approved for at the bank when we both were working a full-time job. And now we're in a position where she had just quit her full-time job and she was the one making all the money. And so now we're approved for a certain amount when we're both working. That's far less than this house I'm sitting in the driveway of. And now she doesn't have a job, so our income has been cut so far down and so low to the point we don't even have enough money to pay our bills every month again. It wasn't like the first time, but it wasn't good either. What would compel me to call the realtor and say, I want to see this? What would compel me to walk through that house and walk the property and come back and tell the realtor, knowing full well the bank is going to say no? Knowing full well, I've already calculated the monthly payments. I can't pay that. What would compel me to say, we'll take it? One thing and one thing only my faith came from. It was His will. He said, this is yours. This is where I want you. That's all I need to hear. Amen. The bank statements don't matter anymore. The monthly payment doesn't matter anymore. The price they're asking for doesn't matter anymore. If He said it, He'll make a way. All I have to do is put my faith in Him, not in the circumstances. And that's where faith begins. And we said that. That's what Jesus had to deal with this guy. God, change your theology, sir. You got to know that I'm willing, because faith begins where the will of God is known, not in the ability of God, in the willingness of God. And so we saw that Jesus said, I will. And we saw at Exodus 15, we don't need to turn there, that God declared, I am the Lord that healeth you. Remember? Remember I said, I stand up and I tell you, I am a boy. I doubt any of you are sitting there when I say that. He's not. He's a girl. You don't argue with that. Amen. I am not 6 feet tall. Now I know none of you are saying, yes he is. It's stupid and silly, but God says, I am the Lord that heals you. Why do people have to look at any other verse? Why don't they just like I said, I'm a boy, and you're like, yeah, I'm not 6 feet tall. We know. God says, I'm a healer. I don't know. He declares it. He's letting you know. That's my will, praise God. And we saw through God that the willingness of Jesus to heal, or Jesus' healing on the earth, was a declaration or a visual picture of God's will. Because Jesus only did what God wanted. And Jesus went around healing all, the Bible says. Praise God. So you got to know God's will to start divine healing. Because I'll tell you, with sickness and disease, it does something to you. When you're going through a sickness and disease, it messes with your head. Because it messes with your body. And it wears your body down, and it wears your mind down, and you get tired, and you get discouraged, and the pain is real, and the symptoms are real, and these professionals who spent all their money to learn all these things and are much smarter than me tell you things, and they're telling you what they can see on x-rays, and what they can see on CAT scans, and what they can see on MRIs, and what they can see in blood reports, and what they can see in different things, and they're telling you this is the facts. And it can be terrifying, it can wear you down. And it can wear you out. And if you're not certain that it is God's will to heal in every situation, in every circumstance, Those feelings, those thoughts, those discouraging words from a doctor, a doctor's report, the symptoms in your body will cause you to move off a place of faith and start believing in those things. But when you know that you know, no matter what you're facing, no matter how bad it looks, that's not what God wants for you. I told you what was able to get me out of that bed when I had that appendix problem. Not only was I facing the worst physical situation in my life, or should have been dead, and now my body is looking at the rest of my life suffering from certain things and at least a year from getting rid of some things. That's what the doctors told me. And being told I was a month away from getting insurance. She had just quit her job. We had way less money. And a month after she quits her job, actually, she was still working, I think, and already given her 2-week notice. And you say, why did she just go back to work? Because God told us to quit the job. And now this thing happens, and not only am I facing the worst sickness of my life, I'm facing $40,000 to $60,000 of hospital bills. What got me out of bed, walking around with that IV cart, saying, I will not have sickness in my body. I will be fully healed and whole from that thing, from head to toe. The money will not, all the money will come. I will not go under because of this. I don't care that she doesn't have a job anymore. I don't care that our money has been cut down and we can't pay our bills as it is naturally. What was the only thing? Knowing one thing for both of them. That God doesn't want me sick and God doesn't want me broke. Yeah. Having His backing caused me in the face of things to go forward. It's the same with healing. You got to know God's will on the subject. Praise God. If you're here today and you are not 100% convinced that God wants to heal every situation, every single time, you need your mind renewed to the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that every situation and every single time healing's going to come to people, because we know this is conditional. Faith, believing God, right? We're going to look at the end of this series, things that hinder divine healing. And so if the conditions aren't met, people might not walk into divine healing. But that does not change the fact that it's His will that He wants to heal every time, every situation. And if you're here and you think, I don't know, what about this? No, no. Every situation, every time, God wants to heal. Why? Remember what He said to you? I am a healer. That means He is yesterday, today, and forever. When I say, I am a boy, I woke up that way, I'm going to bed that way. I'm going to wake up tomorrow that way. It doesn't change, because that's what I am. When God says, I am the healer, He's always, in every situation, in every circumstance, the healer. But if you're not sold out to it, it'll hinder you. Go with me to Matthew 6 and verse 25. I love preaching on healing. I don't like seeing sick people, and I know that we need to be a healthy body to go out and do things for God. It's interesting, I come to these major revelations, and I just need to share them. That when I was laying on my sick bed, half dead, years ago with that appendix problem, I wasn't doing as much for God as I'm doing right now. That's amazing how that works. When you're healthy, you do more. Amen. What a revelation. So for the kingdom, we need to be healthy. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, we obviously know when we're healthy, it's better for our body. It feels better. Life's better. But for the kingdom, we need to be healthy. Amen. Matthew 6, 25 says this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Verse 26 says, behold the fowls of the air. How many of you have been bird watching? You better get bird watching. It'll help you with your worry. Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And you say, well, what in the world does this have to do with healing? Well, I'm going to bring it around to healing here right now. And what we're talking about. Jesus is saying to people and to Christians, they're not Christians at this point, they're followers of Him, but eventually will be Christians when He dies and raises again. He's saying to them, He's saying, don't you know who you are? In this context of worry, He's saying, if you're worried, you must not know who you are. He says, go look at the birds. They can't do things that you can do. They're not who you are, but their needs are met. Why are you worried? If the birds are getting their needs taken care of, and you're not a bird, and you can do things that birds can't do, why are you worried? Well, why are you worried? Because he's saying you don't know who you are. Now, you don't know you're saying this, and I'm not here to talk about needs and finances today, but you don't know that you're saying this. When you worry and stress over your needs in your life, he said not to do it. You are saying, I'm less than a bird.
Wow. That's good.
Because he said if you would realize who you are, that you're better than a bird, you wouldn't worry about it.
Wow.
So when you worry about these things, you're saying, I'm less than a bird in God's eyes.
Wow.
Well, let's take that over to divine healing. My question would be to you this morning, when it comes to healing, don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you are? If you're in sickness and disease, and you're worried about it, and you're stressing about it, and you're discouraged that it's never going to change, and you can apply this to anything you're believing God for that's His will, but we're talking about healing today, and you got a condition or a thing that they've told you is incurable, and you think, this will never change, I'll never get off all this medicine. My question to you is, you must not know who you are. He told these people when they're worried about their life financially, he says, you just don't know who you are. You don't even know that you're better than a bird. What do I mean? We'll go to John chapter 1 and verse 12. Excuse me. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Sickness is one of the most deceiving things because there's symptoms involved. And symptoms is what? Feelings. You feel things. And they're real, right? You go to bed with it. You wake up with them at times. And they're so real. Everything they say that is going to happen to you, at times it's happening. The way the doctors say, you're going to experience this, you're going to feel this. And you do, and it's so real. And it can cause you. Remember the sermon I preached a while back? That the world says that's the facts, Jack. Doctor come in. Sorry, Mike Anderson. This is, you waited too long. Your appendix ruptured. The poison went through your body. And now this is what you're going to have. You're experiencing it right now in your body, aren't you? Yes, sir. You're going to have that for at least a year, at least. Well, that's a doctor telling me. I can say to him, I don't like the sounds of that. He sounds, sorry, that's the facts. That's the facts. Well, I sit down with the financial people at the hospital. I don't have $40,000 to $60,000 to pay this off. You got to do some. That can't be right. Can't cost that much. I'm sorry. That's the facts. But we found out with God, the facts don't mean jack. It's not the facts, Jack. The facts don't mean jack.
That's good.
Oh, the facts don't line up. God can't move. God trumps facts.
Amen.
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 Are you even allowed to say that anymore? Are you allowed to even say the word Trump without getting in trouble? Am I okay? I didn't offend anybody, did I? I'm sorry. Sometimes this sarcastic little guy in me comes out. He's always sitting right there, you know, but it's true. God trumps facts. Amen. And the symptoms sometimes are so real and so loud and so painful and so discouraging, and the doctors are telling you things that it gets your faith off of Him. You must not know who you are if you're worried or discouraged about the thing in your body. You must not know who you are. See, what are you talking about? Well, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received Jesus. That's the him there. Some people probably think, Pastor, you can't read that. It doesn't say Jesus as him, but he's the him they're talking about. I just saved you from translating that in your head. You know, flip it over to him to Jesus. I just saved you time. But then I just took up too much time explaining it to you, so I didn't help you at all, really. But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the power or the right to become the sons of God.
Amen.
Even to them that believe on His name. Remember that word sons? That means daughters too, obviously. It's talking about mankind here. When mankind, man or woman, accepts Jesus, He gives them the right to become sons of God. So everybody in the world are not children of God. I heard a Christian person that did a film years ago, Christian film, and they were kind of getting critical about this person and saying different things, and they were kind of bowing to the pressure. They said, are you saying Jesus is healing? Well, we're all children of God. That's not a fact.
That's right.
The ones that received Him, the Bible says, have the right to become the sons of God.
Right.
Now go to Galatians 4 and verse 6. You say, what are you talking about, this sonship? Galatians 4 and verse 6. It says, if you receive Jesus, that makes you a son, doesn't it?
Yes.
Makes you a family member of God.
Amen.
And because you are sons, are you? Yes. Ladies, that's not a derogatory thing. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if you're a son, are you a son?
Amen.
You receive Jesus, you are. If you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you know what the word heir means? A possessor of something. When you're an heir of somebody, you are a possessor of what that person offers. When you are an heir of God, you are a possessor of what God offers. Now, he says here a key word that you need to know, servant. He says you're no longer a servant when you're a son. And when you become a son, that bumps you up in the list of what belongs to you. The guy that puts mulch in my flower bed is not in my will. My son and my daughter are in my will.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? Because they're sons, they're daughters. They're different category.
Right.
Make sense?
Amen.
We know that just naturally looking at things, there's certain things in my home. See, I don't do the mulch at my house because, number one, my cousin has a business and I like to help him out, but number two, I stink at that stuff, and I don't have time to do it. And so, he has some access to things in my life, but not like my children do.
Right.
When he's at my house, he's serving me.
Yeah. Sure.
He's not in the same category as my son, as my daughter. Well, go with me now to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Remember, he said, when you're a son, you're now an heir. Things belong to you. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. It says, but now, when's now? Right now. Say, but yeah, but he wrote that way back. But no, but you have to understand the word is a living thing.
Right.
It didn't. It's not getting older and older. The word is ever sharp. Ever powerful, ever quickening. I can't understand that. Well, it might be hard in your natural mind to understand it, but it's a spirit thing, and things in the spirit don't die out.
Amen.
The word is spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63. It doesn't die out, and the things of the spirit are ever getting stronger and stronger and quickening or alive.
Amen.
So when he says now, even though this was written how many years ago, it applies to right now. And tomorrow when you read this, it'll apply to right now. And the next day when you read it, it'll apply to right now.
Amen.
He says, now he's obtained a more excellent ministry. More excellent. By how much also he is the mediator of a better, everybody say better.
Better
covenant, which was established, this new covenant that Jesus offers us, is found on better promises. So the good thing about accepting Jesus is it's a benefit. There's a benefit package. Did you know that? Salvation, it's kind of like this. When all the jobs I had before that after school job that I tell you about, there was a benefit. It was one thing. It was a paycheck. That's the best thing in a job. I mean, you need a paycheck. That's what people are going for. But then the other job I got with the after school program, I got the benefit of the paycheck, but then I got the benefit of sick time and vacation days and health insurance and opportunity for to sow into retirement things and things like that. There was a benefit package. When you received Jesus, you got the paycheck, that's salvation. But there's a benefits package, praise God. And he's glad to give it to you. You say, Pastor, I don't know, that sounds a little shallow and materialistic. He said, for all the promises of God, all the benefits of God, all the benefit package of God are yes and amen. Woo-hoo! He says they're yes. If I said you can have it, my answer is yes, praise God. But he said he found a covenant on better promises, more excellent. So let's take this back a second and think about what we just talked about a servant and a son. You need to understand that the people in the Old Testament, before Jesus died and rose again, were not children of God. Why? Because the Bible says, to as many as received him, he gave the right to be called the sons of God. They couldn't receive Jesus in the Old Testament. He hadn't done what he needed to do yet. They were not considered sons and daughters of God in the Old Testament. They were the people of God or the servants of God. Well, we've already established the truth that servants don't get as much as children get. Servants aren't heirs or possessors of what children get. Isn't that truthful? I mean, in most situations, that's the truth. The children get more than the servants. But if we can establish that the servants got healing, then we can make the jump and establish if they got healing and now we're children, God certainly isn't going to give us less. Can't we say that? What are we trying to do? Establish in your life God's willingness in the doctrine of divine healing to absolutely flush out all doubts and thoughts of doubts when the symptoms come. When the problems come, when the fire is burning brightest and the hottest and the most pressure, and you're laying there and they're being told impossible things, we're trying to establish a foundation and a truth in you that's going to be bigger than those feelings. That's because it's those faith in the truth, it's the faith in the truth that's going to get you to get over on that sickness. Because it takes your faith, not God's faith, your faith. And so he says, I gave you a better covenant on better promises to the servants. The Old Testament people who were servants, who were people of God, he loved them, no doubt. They had a benefit package too. Want to take a look at it? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. You must not know who you are. See, but Pastor, you don't know what the doctors told me. That's pretty arrogant if you said it. So you're telling me now that what the doctors told you is bigger than your God? I'm sorry for believing that God is greater than everything. He's the name above all names. Amen. So if you're struggling with sickness and disease, the thought of it always going to be there, that the plethora of pills that you take every day, never, that's just going to be the rest of my life. You must not know who you are. Because when you get a revelation of who you are, then you get a revelation, hey, certain things belong to me. Yes. Amen. I am entitled to things because I'm an heir of God. But if you don't know who you are, you'll be like that person over there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Thinks you're not even better than a bird. You're worried about your life. And Jesus said, the birds can't sow, they can't reap, they can't gather into barns. They're not worried. Aren't you better than a bird? If you're worried, you must. Excuse me. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Let's read down a few verses here. Not only are you going to see the covenant of healing in these verses, you're going to see the covenant of your needs being met in a full supply. Amen. Basically, what you're going to see in these verses is 3 John verse 2, which says what? Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. See, God doesn't give the Old Testament people something, and then Jesus comes and he gives us less. Makes no sense. So if we can establish, if you're here, you're believing God for money, well, you're going to see in the covenant in the Old Testament, money and prosperity was a thing. Hallelujah. Healing was a thing. Look what he says here. Now remember, he's not talking to Christians here. Christians aren't even on the planet yet. He's talking to people that are servants, not children. This is what he says to his servants. It shall come to pass if you servant, shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. He said, this is my covenant. If you'll follow my ways, you will not open the door to the enemy. If you'll follow my ways, you'll stay in my blessing. This is what the benefit package of the Old Testament people was right here. And all these blessings shall come on you.
Amen.
I can't get off of the fact that we're talking about servants here.
Yeah.
This isn't even for the children yet.
Right.
This is what the servants get. We've already established that when you're a child, you're different than a servant.
Amen.
A servant is not a child.
Right.
A servant is a possessor of the heir, the Bible said over there. We looked at that in Galatians. He said, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Well, I don't consider myself blessed in the city and blessed in the field if I'm plagued with sickness and disease.
Right.
Just telling you. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. You see that there?
Yes.
What's he saying? In my benefit package for my servants, healing in their body was a provision, was a benefit. And the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall you be, but shall your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Well, I guess that means you're blessed.
Yeah.
Amen.
The Lord shall cause your enemies. Now we're going to look at some supernatural protection for the servants. Shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command blessing upon all you in the storehouse. Remember, this isn't even written to you. But don't get bummed out because you have Hebrews 8:6. He said that you get a better covenant on better promises. These sound pretty darn good to me. But we get better? Pretty good deal. Where'd I stop at? 8? The Lord shall command blessings in your storehouses and all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in your land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord shall establish a holy people in himself as he has sworn unto you. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. You know what that's called? Stuff.
Amen.
In the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto the fathers to give you, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land of the season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head, not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I have commanded you to do this day. Praise God. He set them up with a pretty stinking good benefit package, didn't he? Now let me